Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. I just want to say good evening to all those that are listening online and those who are listening on the phone. On the phone lines, we just want to say good evening. Hopefully you had a good weekend. To all the men, hopefully you had a good Father's Day. Again, I am the host of D&K Bible Break, Derek Oliver, with my wife, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening and happy Monday.
And we just want to say again, good evening to all those that are listening all over the place. Excited about today's show, excited about just life in general. We serve a good God, and I just want everyone to know that hopefully that if you're listening, that you get something out of tonight's show. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Kay. She's going to pray and bring us in.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. We ask that you just give us the words to say. Let your spirit lead and guide us on tonight. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are in control. Reduce us and increase your spirit within us to flow freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight we are going to be talking about you against you. Did you say something?
I was just saying amen.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, amen. All right. So you against you, no filters. So this weekend, the grands came over. So, and I was in a little bit of pain. So I was like, okay, do I go get them? Do I not go get them? I was debating what I should do, but I ended up going to get them. And I was thinking, you know, like every day that we wake up, we decide how we're going to handle that day. We can either make the best of the day and handle it, or we can let the day handle us. So I think Saturday, the day handled me because I was just out of order. So we had the grands, and my granddaughter, she has a new cell phone. She's six, and I'm like, okay. So she's showing me her little phone, and, you know, you take pictures, and, you know, everybody's doing these filters. And filters, the filters have a way of making everybody look beautiful, handsome. Everybody just looks so flawless, like, wow, like, y'all look really nice. But when you see the people in person, it's like, oh, you look a little bit different from what I've seen online. So got me to thinking about, you know, these cameras. So, you know, the cameras, they can tell lies. And the thing about the lies that the camera tells, it's pretty much with the filters is what people are putting out there. And a lot of times we have a lot of filters that we use on a daily basis and we don't even recognize it. So I was going through on Saturday. For some reason, I was feeling some kind of way because of it was Father's Day weekend. And this Father's Day weekend was a little bit different from me, from what I'm used to dealing with and how I dealt with things in the past. It was just a little bit different. So I had gotten my feelings. And my thoughts, you know, wanted me to sit and stay in my feelings and have like a pity party. So there was a war or struggle or battle or whatever you want to call it going on with inside me, because on one hand, I'm like, I'm tired. I don't feel good. I just need to chill and not do nothing. On the other hand, I felt that I needed to see my grands because they helped me get out of my head. So if I'm with them and dealing with them, it's like, okay, I'm not thinking about anything that I got going on. I'm just enjoying the grands. So I could have chose to just sit and meditate on my feelings, or I could have chose to get out of my feelings. And so going back to the filters and the things that we present to people. So if you're looking at me from the outside, you're not going to see what's really going on, because I know how to put on the filter. I'm going to keep it real. I know how to put the filter on, and I know how to put on the smile and act like everything is okay. When on the inside, it's like, okay, what's going on? And you just not feeling that way. And what I like about the difference between the camera that tells the lies that you can put the filters on, and then the actual mirror that you go in, you know, they have the mirrors, like vanity mirrors. I know a lot of females and barbers or whatever, they use the mirrors that have the lighting, and you can really see all the imperfections and what's really going on. And with good lighting, you can see all of that. The good lighting tells it all, and it shows it all. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, okay, so Jesus is the light. That's good lighting. So I need him to shine that light on me to get rid of these imperfections and these filters that I have on myself. I'm just going to put it on me. If it's for you, then, hey, work with it. But these filters. So there's like this you against you. And I was telling my husband, pretty much every day I have this you against you situation going on, because I'm like, okay, what do I eat today? It's a battle of what do I eat. I can choose to eat all the healthy stuff that I went grocery shopping for and bought, or I can choose to eat those dilly bars or whatever those ice cream things is in the deep freezer. So it's like a you against you. It's like, okay, what do I do? And every day we have to decide how we're going to, if we're going to do A, B, or C, and if we're going to allow the enemy to control, or not even, I don't even want to blame it on the enemy, because a lot of times it's us. It's me. I'm not going to blame it on the enemy. Me against me. It's what I want to do, if I want to do it, if I don't want to do it. And a lot of the times I get caught up in my mind, and I do things that it really wasn't necessary for me to even go out the house on Saturday, but because I had that thing going on within me, I needed to get out the house, even though I paid for it later on that night because I was in pain. So a lot of the times, you against you, and we just need to, you know, see if this is what we really need to be doing for that day. Make the right choices for that day. I'm going to let you talk for a minute, husband.
Nah, you're doing good. I was waiting for you to go a little bit deeper, but since you turned it over,
I feel like
to
I'm
me,
all over the place, so I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. I just wish you to went a little deeper into you against you, and you set it up beautifully, because we, especially as believers, we're real good with the filters. You know, Amaya, the granddaughter, oldest granddaughter, got a cell phone. She know how to use the filters really, 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 really well. And I don't even know how to use filters. But when it comes to the church, we're real good at putting filters on. You could be struggling, but don't no one know. You could be going through things. You could be doing secret sins. No one know, because you have the filter on. But when you get into the light, and it's you against you, someone is going to come up close to you, and because they're walking real close with Jesus, they're going to see the real you. They may not can name it, but they're going to know something is wrong with you. And as my wife was saying on Saturday, I told her earlier Saturday, I said, won't you just chill? I told her that. So won't you chill? Because in the end, you're going to – everything that she said is true. Only thing she didn't say is what I was telling her earlier in the day. And when I say this, this is the way we communicate. This is, you want to call it a fight, or this is what we do. And I'm telling her, chill out. But like, you know, what we do, we butt heads sometimes, because she's going to do what she wants to do. And no one really likes to be told what to do. And even though I wasn't telling her what to do, a lot of times, and this goes for me too, my wife would tell me, you know, go to bed. She said, come on, let's go to bed. And I'm like, I'm a grown man. I ain't never went to bed at 9 o'clock. I'm grown. I go to bed when I get ready to go. But it's for your own good, because if you don't and you don't get your proper rest, the only one that's going to pay for it is me. And like she said, a lot of times we as believers, we put these filters on, and later on, either that night, that week, you're going to pay for it. And sometimes you will get exposed when you really don't have to, if you just be true to yourself and learn how to, and this is a hard one because I'm still dealing with this, how to defeat yourself. It's really not against the devil. It's you against you. And the devil will play tricks on you if you allow him to get in your mind. If you allow him to get in your mind. But we have all the devices to keep him out. But, you know, my wife, if she doesn't do certain things, if she don't feel certain things, she'll start beating herself up. It's in the mind. And we do that as believers. We beat ourselves up. It's in the mind. And we want to please everybody except Christ. We want to go all over and do all this other stuff, but when it comes time to doing something for Christ, we don't want to do it. Now, let me say this too, putting filters on. We can look like we're doing stuff for Christ, and you really ain't doing nothing. You just look busy. You just look like you got stuff going on. You know, you ever see people with them highlighters in their Bible, they be marking stuff in their Bible, but that's the only time they open their Bible. It didn't look like they smart, but they really don't be studying the Bible because they're going through the same stuff for 20 years. Some people have been going through the same stuff for 20 years. And I'm not saying we don't struggle with things, but some stuff ought to be elementary. Some stuff ought to be just, you know, we ought to grow from some stuff. And what I like, and I said this last week on the show, and I'm going to use it again. I believe Pastor Sonny Macho is playing in baseball tournaments. He's going all over the place playing against the best of the best. And when I mean the best of the best, it's just not kids just in the park. He's playing against the best of the best of the best. These kids pay money to learn how to pitch, learn how to catch. So it's the best of the best. And what I'm saying is sometimes when you go against you, you want to put yourself in a position so when you do face the devil, you're getting the best devil that you can possibly face, not the same old gossiping, backbiting, sowing discord. That goes on in church, in every church, all over the place. And people have been doing it for years. And if you haven't graduated from that, you really, I'm not going to question it, but you really haven't gotten a grasp of the word. And the reason I brought baseball up is because you have to learn to hit different pitches. Some pitchers throw curveballs, some pitchers throw sliders, some pitchers throw fastballs. The devil is throwing pitches at us. And if you don't take the time and learn how to hit the pitch, you're going to strike out. If you strike out, you're never going to get on base. If you never get on base, you're never going to be able to go to the next base, and then possibly score a run. That means defeat the enemy because you are not allowing yourself to practice to go to a different level. And in order in the play, you have to practice. But the same thing, you're going against the best of the best. The devil is chilling, sending out the same thing that was going on 30, 40 years ago in church is still going on today. Still going on. And if we haven't seen it, if we haven't learned from it, we're never going to score. And if you don't get it together and start defeating the devil, not even the devil, if you don't start defeating yourself, your flesh, you're going to wind up hurting yourself because you're never going to advance. And if you never advance, what happens when you strike out? You got to go sit back on the bench. And then you got people looking at you like you're crazy because you haven't been practicing. And like I try to tell my wife, get out of your head. You're not a bad grandma because you don't go spend time with your grandkids for a weekend because you don't feel well. That's a condition. Take some time, get yourself together. Take the time, and instead of doing that, put it in the word. Put it in song. Do something to uplift the Lord. That's how we have to, and I'm going to shut up, that's how we have to move on to try to defeat yourself. You got to put more word into it instead of, and get out of the head. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with, you have to get out of your head, because if you don't, then, you could be going all kind of different directions. And we all have stuff, you know, that we got to work on. We all have areas where we need to improve. So this is not, if you've already arrived and you already got it all together, then it's not for you. But, you know, we all have something to work on, and we have to rewire, if I can say, rewire our unhealthy and our the thoughts that that creep in. We have to rewire those thoughts, allow the Lord to rewire those thoughts with healthy thoughts. I believe it was Miss Vanessa on last week on the Royal Bluets, the Royal Blues show that they have on Thursdays. She was talking about, you know, changing the state of her mind, where, you know, a situation can come up and you can feel depressed about a situation, and you go and you put on music to match the way you're feeling. And it's like, okay, do you really need to do that? Because then you're just playing into those emotions and how you feel. Change it up. Do something else. She said she started painting. If I knew how to paint, I would paint. But I like to sing. I do like to change my thoughts. And by me going to get my grandkids, that was how I dealt with the situation that was weighing heavy on me. I needed to be around some little people because I love little people. And I was feeling some kind of way because I hadn't seen them in like 2 weeks. So, well, 2 weekends. So I needed to see them. I got a little taste of them. Then it was like, okay, grandma, I got to go. I'll see y'all later. But I needed to get that out of my system, and I needed to change my thought pattern because, you know, again, like by it being Father's Day weekend, my thoughts was trying to take me somewhere else that they didn't need to go. So I'm grateful for that. I did pay for it, but I'm glad I did it because I got to enjoy them as well. And
can I stop you right there real quick? Let me stop you. Can I stop you right there? Because you just said you paid for it. So
I did.
In seeing it, so you paid for it. So when you paid for it, and I was trying to get her to see this, so y'all help me with this. She paid for it, so I had to pay for it. And even though the fix was temporary, and you got the fix because you ain't seen them in 2 weeks, later on that evening, you paid for it because your body was, what, hurting? So what I'm trying to get, and I want you to see it and everyone else to see it, is the fact that temporary fix, okay, that's because you planted it in your mind. If I see this is what's going to help me. And it's okay to want to see this and see that and do this and do that. But at the end of the day, if you're still in pain, it's like a drug. It's a temporary, and I'm not calling the grandkids drugs, so you got to think deeper than that. It's not a drug, but it's just a temporary fix. And then at the end of the night, when it's all said and done, you're in pain. The grandkids don't know it. Your kids don't know. Don't nobody know it but me. And when I say this, I'm not making it about me or you. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, only person that knows that pain is you. And if you have a spouse or someone close, they know it. So it's not the grandkids. You're using that as a temporary fix that's not going to help the problem. What's going to help the problem, and I'm just using you as an example, is rest. What's going to help the problem? And then you're saying to get out of your mind. Well, when you're with your grandkids, you really can't be in your mind because you got to look after them. But at the end of the day, your body is still hurting, and it's going to hurt worse. So in order to help the body needs to rest. And sometimes you got to pull the body out of everything around everybody, and then you have to get out of your mind. And the mind is telling you to do this, to do this, to do this. And that's when you have to put the word on the mind and the flesh, because the flesh is overtaking it. Because even though you're still hurting and the pain, what really good was it for the grand? You saw them. They went home. You went home, but you were in pain. But that was supposed to help. And a lot of believers, all walks of life, they do that. Some people will have an issue with something. They'll go to church, And while they're in church, they'll get that fix, the music, the preacher, and they'll go right back home and in the same situation. Now, what are you trying to say, Derek? What I'm trying to say is they never picked the Bible up. They never studied. They never prayed. All they did was go to church and got fixed. And only the fix was for a few minutes, you're happy. And you get that good feeling because you feel good because you didn't heard the word, you didn't shout it, the music all uplifted you, but you came right back to the same situation because you didn't put a word on it. You didn't try to fix it. All you did was put a Band-Aid over it temporarily to feel good. And when you was in the house of the Lord and trying to fix it there, all you did was got caught up in your emotions. Not the spirit. You got caught up in your emotions and you felt good. And that's what we do. We get caught up and we don't never deal with the problem. We never put a word on the problem. And all we do, and that's why we keep going over the same thing over and over and over, because we have temporary fixes for everything. I have a lot of people call me and tell me their problem, and I listen to them, but until they put a word on it, you can say the same thing over and over again. You can call the bishop, the pastor, whoever you want, and talk to them until you blue in the face, until they're blue in the face. It's not going to do any good until the individual put a word on it. And that's really what we do. We find temporary fixes. You having problems at home? I got to get out of the house. I got to get away from the house because they get no money. Okay, but you pay money to stay there, but you got to leave where you pay money. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And we as believers, we always want to find a temporary fix for everything. And then say, well, I'm praying about it. No, you haven't done it. You know, there's action behind prayer. There's action behind putting the word. You have to do something. And sometimes you got to remove yourself, that's doing something, from a situation and just give it to the Lord. And then, because you got to understand, the devil comes to, he wants your mind. He wants your mind. And if he can get in your head, he got you. We watched a movie yesterday. I recommend everybody. It was a good movie. It ain't got nothing to do spiritual, but it's called Hustle with Adam Sandler and the Queen Latifah in it. And he kept telling this player, don't let him get in your mind, because if he gets in your mind, he got you. And like this player, he almost lost everything because a player got in his mind, started talking about his mama and his baby, and he lost it. And just like that, the devil will do that to us, and we'll lose it. We will lose it. As long as he was playing basketball, wasn't no one saying nothing to him, he was fine. He was perfect. Everything was good. But soon as someone started talking to him, getting in his head, that's what happened.
To add to what you were saying, as far as when people come to church, a lot of the times we come to church and we are so burdened down. And instead of laying our burdens at the altar, leaving them with the Lord, we come to church, we're burdened down, we put on this air of, okay, I enjoyed service, you're clapping your hands, you're shouting, you're doing everything that you do in church. And then when you leave church, it's like you take those same burdens and you didn't unload anything. You're just taking it right back home with you. So it's like, did you really get anything out of it? Because if you're not leaving your burdens at the altar and you're taking them right back with you when you leave service, like, what was the purpose of you showing up? And a lot of times we do that. We come to church, we do what we're supposed to do, and then we leave right back out, carrying the same burdens.
Well, so let me ask you a question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. So when you say you had to get out, and someone was telling you just stay in, I'm saying, because when we say this, and you know, we make this
I didn't
so want to
stay in.
No,
that's the you against you part. That's the whole purpose. I didn't want,
right.
My body was saying,
right.
Okay, you need
want.
To chill and not do nothing. But I didn't, me, like the other side of me was like, no, I need to see my grandbabies.
But see,
so
what I'm saying is that part right there, that part that said I want to see my grandbabies, That's the same part when people go to church and you say they know how to put the filters on, and they said we're going to leave this at the altar, and then they pick it right back up and take it right back home with them. The same thing that you're saying, that's what we do. It's easy to do that. And the thing about it is the cycle
that's
somewhere
why it's you
has
against
to get
you.
Broken. Exactly. Well, yeah, it is you against you, but the thing about you against you, one of the hard things about you against you is the fact that you got to choose a trainer, a person. Most likely the best person to choose is the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you need someone else to push you just a little bit. You against you, that means you got to fight against yourself. Who's the best person that can tell you how to defeat yourself? It's the person who made you, your creator, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'm guilty of this. I'm probably the number one person who tried to defeat myself listening to myself without listening to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will give you clues and examples of how to defeat yourself. A couple weeks ago, I'm sitting trying to watch a basketball game or watch TV, and my wife said, and I said this earlier, time to go to bed. And I got upset because I'm 50 years old. I don't need no one to tell me when to go to bed. That's my mindset. That's the mindset. So I try to stay up a little bit longer. But also at the same time, my wife said it. But now look, that was the Spirit using someone else to give me instructions on how to take care of my body. I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it totally different. My wife trying to tell me, dictate to me, I need to go to, like, she run the show. That's what's in my head. And that's what we do. We all do it. We all, and yet it's a simple voice telling you. People are homes. Things are getting tore up because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I don't want people to think that this is going to be a voice that you hear. Sometimes the Lord will use someone to tell you something. You have to slow yourself down and listen and make sure that what they're telling you is for you. And sometimes me, because I have an ego, I'm not scared to admit, I have an ego. I take things to the extreme. But I'm learning to listen. You know what, maybe I should go to bed because I do got to get up early. I do got to drive. There's a lot of things, and this, I'm just being general. But there's some other things that my wife has said to me that I said the exact same thing, ignored, and it literally knocked me out, almost knocked me out. I had to take 8 count because I didn't listen. And it's something so simple, so small. And this is for men, women, and if you ain't married, maybe your spouse, maybe your kid, someone, the Lord would use anyone to give that to you. And what we, as me, as an elder and as a leader and as a father, I have to prepare myself. You have to listen. And I ain't saying everybody's right, but sometimes you have to listen because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something. And yet it's you against you. And the only person that can defeat you is you. You can defeat it. And the only way you can defeat it is you have to listen to your trainer, which is the Holy Spirit. And in order to listen to the Holy Spirit, now you have to have a relationship in order to know if it's the Holy Spirit or not. And we're getting knocked out quickly. People are leaving the church quickly. Homes is being messed up quickly because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to everybody else with all the gossip, with all the drama. And I told my wife before we came on the air, I'm on a different level right now. And you can't tell me that I'm not on a different level because some of the stuff that people are saying and doing, I'm looking at it like, you know what? Ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm on a different level. And you have to separate yourself. Sometimes you have to take a step back, get out of the situation for a minute, look at things, and then once the Lord tells you, then you go. Then you go. I had so many phone calls after church yesterday. so many phone calls after church yesterday, and you wouldn't believe why. And I was praying, I was tired, and I was meditating. I'm like, well, why is all this going on? And all the calls was good. They was good. Positives, comments, positive, people wanting to do things. And I'm like, well, why is this happening? And the Lord showed me something. And it's like, you know, if you just listen and do what I'm telling you to do, the things that you've been praying for is going to fall into place. And it's not going to be by anything that I'm doing or anything because I said this or I talked to. It's just because the Lord knows that he knows my heart. And the things that I've been praying for, you know, my whole family want to be baptized. And I'm getting phone about, and it all started with my baby boy. And then my oldest son wants to do it. He's talking to a cousin that wants to do it. And it's a blessing because I'm watching this. I didn't have nothing to do with any of it. But if I would have listened to Derek and went and talked to everybody as an individual, sent scriptures, and told them what I thought, which I really thought was right, none of this would have happened. The Lord took care of everything. Take a step back sometime, pray. Listen, even though sometimes I wanted to say something, I just didn't. I just didn't. And now it's like, wow, the worst of the worst, my worst critics, wants to be baptized. And it didn't got deep to some of my cousins. They want to make a whole Atlanta trip. I don't know if it's going to be possible because some of them, I believe, is just talking just to be talking, but I don't know that for a fact. But you never know. So sometimes, yeah, you against you. And this is a small part. You're not going to defeat yourself overnight. It's a process. It's a process. The more words you get, you have to start doing. And then you're going to have to start doing some other things, fasting and praying. And then sometimes – I didn't get this in my message yesterday, but sometimes you got to change your shoes. You have to change your shoes. Because where you're going, the shoes you got on may not be equipped for where you're going. You can't put on no cowboy boots and walk up Stone Mountain in them. Now, I'm quite sure some people probably could. It is going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to hurt. And it's sometimes we're walking in the same shoes that we've had on for 20 years. They wore out. It's time for a new pair. Well, how do you get a new pair? Well, you got to go to the Lord and have the Lord put them. You got to. It's going to cost the price. But the only one who can give you a new pair of shoes is the Lord. And if you don't know him, then you can't buy them. And if you can't buy them, you have to use the same shoes you got on. Yeah, see, I can preach this now, wife, but I'm going to shut up and let you go because that just all came to me right there. but yeah, sometimes when you're walking, you have to use – my wife has so many different shoes for so many different occasions. She has inside shoes. They just wore it inside the house. They won't go outside the house. And she will have a black woman's fit if anyone wear her shoes outside of the house. Because they're inside shoes.
Yeah, because my kids like to
and
get
her
my
inside
shoes on.
Her inside shoes, they don't touch the carpet. They stop. So what I'm saying is, and I'm not going to pick on my wife, but sometimes you have to change your shoes. You have to purchase a new pair of shoes. So you got to use your Jesus credit card. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a credit card. And some of y'all been in the church with the same shoes on, doing the same thing, going around the same mountain for the longest. And I know your feet hurt. That's why you're in your mind. Go ahead, Wise.
Well, with that, you know, we do have to acknowledge and work on the areas that we know we're weak in. So if you know you're weak in that area, you got to put forth an effort to do better in that area. So I know I have a lot of areas where I have a you against you issue on the inside. So day by day, moment by moment, you got to set goals to, you know, get through whatever's being thrown at you. And, you know, our minds are very powerful. And our thoughts, they actually, you know, they shape who we are and who we will become. So we do need to capture those thoughts. In order to capture those thoughts, it requires us to be still. And a lot of times as believers, we are so busy doing this and doing that. And I was sharing with you earlier, it's not so much of, you know, the believers saying, oh, I don't do this and I don't do that. And it's the things that we are doing, the busyness of what we're doing. We're going from one event to another. It's like we're trying to catch up because of COVID when everything was shut down. We're trying to catch up and do extra stuff and just be busy. And a lot of the times, that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants us to be so busy where we're not being still. I wanted to be busy this past weekend. I didn't want to be still. That's me. That was me against my, I didn't want to sit and be still. But if you allow the Lord to help you, then he will help you. But you have to want it. I love the Lord, and I'm always going to want the Lord to lead and guide me. At the same time, I have me that I deal with against me. And Psalms 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. So I have to keep reminding myself, be still. It's okay to do nothing. It's okay to just sit there. And I'm learning that. My body is really telling me that. And I know the Lord will sit you down if he needs to. And I don't want to have to go be that person where the Lord is like, sit down. Since you ain't listening, I'm going to sit you down for you. So I do know that I need to be still and capture the thoughts and allow the Lord to do a work in me in some situations that I'm facing. And it does require me to do a self-examination. And with that self-examination, it requires me to be honest. And, you know, like when you were in school, that self-examination, the way I'm looking at it is you in school, you're taking a test, and you got to keep your eyes on your own paper. You can't be looking at your neighbor's paper. That can cause you to fail the class. That can cause you to get in trouble, fail the test, all of that. So you got to keep your eyes on your own paper. So I need to do a self-examination on what the Lord is telling me to do and be still. There was an event that I was going to go to on Saturday. I didn't go to the event because I'm like, you don't have to run everywhere and be a part of everything. You do have to use wisdom and be still. And it's okay if you're being still. Don't let the enemy try to trick you and get in your mind and tell you, oh, because you're not doing this and you're not doing that, that you're not doing the will of the Lord. Because being still is part of his will as well. So I did want to add that in there. And I was thinking like, okay, so what is your motivation? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why? Like, why did I choose to do what I did over the week? What was my motivation? It wasn't grounded in anything that the Lord was telling me to do. This was me that wanted to do that. It's not like I was going to get in trouble if I didn't do it. It was the choice that I made. So I'm learning. I'm not going to get it overnight, but I am learning to do things. You got to slow down and do things the way the Lord is telling you to do it and not worry about what other people are doing. Focus on you. Allow the Lord to examine you so that way you can get yourself together. Because at the end of the day, your soul will be required. My husband can do what he's doing. His soul is going to be required. Your soul is going to be required. Everybody is responsible for what's on their own paper, for their own test. So just be proactive in what you're doing and make sure you're doing it for the Lord. And whatever situation that you find yourself in, you know, it's always going to be, the way I see it, is always going to be you against you, because you got to decide, okay, should I do A or B? You got a choice. The Lord doesn't push himself on you. He's not a bully. He allows you free will to make choices, so you do have to choose how you're going to do your day, how you're going to spend your time. So just pray that the Lord leads and guides you and that you get out of yourself. Don't get caught up in what you're thinking in your head, because when you think on things, a lot of times you end up meditating on things for a long time, and it's unproductive. It serves no purpose. It's just wasted time that the enemy is allowing for you to get caught up in. So it's important to make sure that we're doing things, you know, just go harder for the Lord. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes. Clearly I make mistakes. I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything that lines up with the way the Lord is telling me to do. And if he's telling me to chill out and be still, if my husband is telling me to chill out, be still, then I need to take that into consideration, because it's all for my good. It's not to hurt me or anything. It's to make me better. So, that's all I wanted to say about that. Go ahead, husband.
Yeah, that's
all right.
I was in a thought, and I don't want to, you know, but then again, the Lord sometimes gives us platforms. Sometimes Lord will give you a chance to share the goodness that he has blessed us with, blessed you with, blessed whoever with, and we always miss the opportunity because we're in our head. And see, like you said, he's not going to force himself, but he did say he's standing at the door and knock. And a lot of times he's knocking and we're not there. You know, and when I say this, this means more than one thing. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You have a church full of people who know the word. And the Lord is knocking, but they're in their head and they think this, that, and the other. And because they think this, that, and the other, they've been thinking it for years, they never change their shoes. They're still walking in the same steps. If I don't call certain people, they're going to get an attitude with me. I've already know people who get attitudes because, you know, bishop don't call them. But at the same time, I'm going to get in trouble now, so I'm going to get ready. We're going to get ready and close. But when you are walking with the Lord, no, I'm serious, because, you know, the only person I have to be in contact with is not other elders, is not deacons, is not members, is not even the bit, it's the Lord. If don't nobody call me, and I'm so in my feelings, because the world say you need someone to call you, to check on you, to say you okay, as much where I've been in the church, and when I say it means nothing, but I've been in the church, say, over 40 years. And if I need someone to call me to say, are you okay? Something's not right. Them shoes have to get off, you know. I try to talk to my sons every day, and I think I do a pretty good job. But if I miss a day not talking to them, the world's not going to go crazy. Everything's not going to fall apart because I didn't talk to them. They still know how to function. But what we do in the church, we want everyone to see us functioning, and we want the right people to see us functioning. See, I'm talking church now. This ain't got nothing to do with you being saved. This is church stuff. Ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. This is church stuff. And this is what we do. We want to go to church to let people see us doing stuff. It's like the filter on the phone. It's like a Facebook light. And if you don't get so many likes, you get an attitude. But did you see what I said? Did you see? Don't no one have to see anything but the Lord. And this is what I'm saying. And we make excuses after excuses after excuses. First COVID, we couldn't go to church. We had to be with our families. Now that COVID, I don't know if it's run its course or what's going on, but everybody back to work, everyone doing everything else, we use it as an excuse not to do what God is calling us to do. And then when we had it as an excuse not to do what God, we still weren't doing what God told us to do. We're still not doing what God told us to do. And it's because, what, we got these filters on, and people get upset. People get upset. If you don't do this, if you don't say this. I know I'm not, I can't remember a lot of stuff. And for me to get up and preach, I forget a lot of things. I'll forget to say something about my wife. I'll forget to say this and say that. I'll forget so many different announcements. I forgot on Sunday to say anything about the food pantry. It's not that the fact that I didn't want to do it. It's the fact that the matter is I had so much other junk on my mind, it just left. And whatever the Lord allowed me to get out, I got out. But I was thinking about so many other things going on. Am I in the right time frame? Are we getting out right? Did I acknowledge everybody? Did I stay within the scripture? You know, all the things that you, and this ain't got nothing to do, this is not spiritual. This is just me versus me. And we try to, because we're trying to please everybody but the Lord, and if we don't please enough people, we get an attitude. Then we get depressed. Then we start listening to the music. And then we want to go take some pills and kill ourselves. I know I'm being extreme, but that's pretty much what happened.
Oh.
Or we want to change religions. Or we want to change sexes. Because stuff ain't working out the way it's supposed to work out. Man, that's a bunch. No. I'm going to stay the same there. The only thing that's going to be different is my walk with the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. It ain't got nothing to do with my wife, my kids, the church, the pastors. It has to do with the Lord. But when we and people stop talking to us and stop communicating with us, we lose our mind. We really do lose our mind. But we ought to have our mind on Christ so we don't lose our mind. And that's the problem. We got a mind on everything but Christ. And because we got a mind on everything but Christ, you ain't got enough credit to build up to buy no shoes so you can walk a new walk, talk a new talk. Because it's a new day, because you're still doing the same old stuff, trying to please people. And what I'm going to say now is, so what? So what people don't call you? So what people ain't checking on you? So what? If the Lord woke you up, he checked on you. And if you got some ailments in your body, guess what? He wants to keep checking on you, so you keep praying about the ailments so he can heal you, so you can keep talking to him. See, this is really simple, but it's really hard. Yeah, the Lord healed me from cancer. I got some other ailments people don't know about. I got to pray on that. I got to talk to the Lord about that kind of stuff. You know? My eye jumping now, having hard vision in my eye. But you know what? I got to pray about that. But if the Lord don't know me, you know, I go to the doctor and whatever they say, that's what it is. Make a post about it. See if I get any likes. If people call me and have sympathy for me, then I'm good. That's where we at in this world today. And these aren't kids. These are grown folks. These are grown folks. Why do you think these kids get so bent out of shape when they don't get a like? They see it from somebody. They get it from somebody. It comes from somewhere. And what we do in the church, and I don't mean to be hard on church folks, but it's just the truth. We need to stop playing church and really have a relationship with the Lord. If I don't call nobody, well, the offer don't check on us. Okay, so what? Who am I? I'm struggling just like you. I'm having a hard time making it just like you. But I'm trying to be better than that, and I'm trying to be better to call people, to help people. But at the end of the day, in my fight against me, if don't no one call me, I'm still good because the Lord woke me up this morning. He checked on me. And when I got out of the bed, yeah, my body was a little sore, but I was still able to move, had activities of my limb. He checked on me. I love when my wife check on me, but my wife don't wake me up in the morning. She don't breathe breath in my life in the morning. She don't give me the activities of my limb in the morning. And I don't do it for her. The Lord does that for us. So when you think about this stuff, a lot of the little stuff that we've been turned into major stuff, and I don't like church that, well, we all got something. Yeah, we all got something we need to work on. We all striving for perfection. But are you really striving for perfection? Or are you just saying that as a cliche so people can think that you're striving for perfection? But it's going to show up in the fruits when you're walking. It's going to show what's showing up. You ain't got to fool us. And I can't fool you. If I ain't doing nothing right, it's going to show because ain't nothing right going to be in my life. And the devil going to stop hanging with me because he already got me. But when all hell is breaking loose and you trying to do right and you trying to do right and you talking to the Lord and you're praying, you know what? I know it may seem like hell, but that's a good life. That's a good life. There's a lot of people don't want to see me and my wife succeed. And it's hard sometimes going through what we go through. But the good news about it is we stay before the Lord. And because we stay before the Lord, guess what? He has favor over us. And because he has favor on us, and we know this not because someone told us, because we have a relationship with him, I'm good. Yeah, I get in my moment. And yeah, sometimes someone got to tell me something. He may be using you. He may be using you. He may be using you. He may be using you to help me get to the next level. That's him trying to talk to you. And that's all I'm going to say. That's all I got to say about it. My wife told me earlier I'm long-winded and wanted me to be done at 8 o'clock. It's 7:52, wife, and I am done. And you can close this out.
I want to give
all
out some scriptures. Okay, I'm going to let you do the closing because I want you to do the announcements. But if you can take down Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That was Isaiah 26:3, to keep your mind on the Lord because he will keep you in perfect peace. Another scripture, Colossians.
Before you go to the next scripture, before you do your next scripture, can you read that one again?
Isaiah 26:3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you."
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to hear that one more time.
Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So a lot of times we get caught up in everything that we're doing, but stay focused.
Can you read
on
that one more time,
the Lord.
Too?
Colossians 3:2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." And as I mentioned earlier, self-examination, it just requires us to be honest. So we have to be honest. And at the end of the day, a lot of the times we're our own worst enemy. And, you know, we're the only ones who, if I can say like this, we're the only ones who can stop ourselves from achieving our full potential. So it's either we work at it or we don't. And we have to look to our own, we have to look to our own soul, look into our own soul and drag out the part of us that is not going to give up. So there is a part of you that is determined, that's not going to give up, that's going to keep pushing, that's going to keep striving. So we just got to make sure that we minister to that part of ourselves, that drive, that will that we have. And a lot of the times we need to let it be the Lord's will, and the Lord will lead and guide us if we let him. But we have to let him and not do it on our own, and not just try to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we feel like doing it. And a lot of times I get caught up in doing that, doing my own thing when I feel like doing it. And when I don't feel like doing it, I still do it. So pray for me because I have a lot of things that I do that maybe I need to have a seat and not be doing them. So I have to set myself down, and I recognize that. And I want to be a good steward over this mind and over this heart and over this soul and over this body that the Lord has given me. So got to make some changes. So that's what I'm going to be working on. I pray that you work on whatever the Lord is telling you to work on in your life, because at the end of the day, it's your soul that will be required. So I can't tell you how to pass your test, but I know that God is able. And he's there, and he's willing, and he's just waiting on you to cry out to him for help. And don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. I believe you said on Sunday the scripture, Psalm 34, you know, I'm not even going to quote the scripture because I can't remember off the top of my head, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if we let the Lord order our steps.
37:23.
It'll. 37:23. So let the Lord order your steps. Let the Lord lead and guide you everywhere that you need to go. Let the Lord lead and guide your mind. Don't allow the enemy to come in and distract you. Don't allow yourself to distract you and get on a pity party bandwagon. Just keep it moving. Change the atmosphere if you need to change the atmosphere. Put on some praise music. Read a book. Take a walk. Do something that will keep your mind in perfect peace by keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. So I wanted to end with this. It's not a scripture. It's just a quote that I've seen. Every champion was once a contender that refused to give up. So don't give up. Keep going. You will win. You will win in the end if you follow what the word is telling you to do. And I know you know where that quote is from, Mr.
I really don't.
Well, it's from your Rocky Balboa. It's from Rocky Balboa. You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. But, yeah, it's every champion was once a contender that refused to give up. I believe that's from Rocky IV. So don't give up. Keep fighting. In the end, you will win.
I really didn't like Rocky IV, but okay. It's still in the family.
Oh, wow. Well, I like that quote,
you know,
so.
It's fine. It's fine. But when you said that, the Lord just dropped something again in my spirit. And, you know, we used to, and I'm going to get out of here. I just can't help this to shut up sometime. But, you know, this is for somebody. And I'm not going to be nice when I say it. The only reason I'm not going to be nice because it was told to me. And the person who told me wasn't nice. But I'm going to give you the background. I used to play football, and I was good. And my brother was really good, and I was good. And the coach, Coach Hart, we was practicing, and it was 2-a-days. And this is when you had to practice in the heat. And we was just kicking their butts. And I was doing good. And then one play I didn't block, and the coach chewed me out. And it stays with me to this day, and I'm scared to say it sometime, but I'm going to say it tonight, is, you know, sometimes we Christians, people, men and women, y'all just, we just some punks as Christians. It's not that hard. We just punk. We don't want to put the work in. We want to be baby. We want to be sissified. And I missed the block, and the coach yelled at me and said, you just can't run. You got to block. Matter of fact, get out of here. He threw me out of practice. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then he threw me out of practice for a reason, because after I missed the block, I went over to where everyone was standing, and I took my helmet off. And at the time, you was not – if you were practicing full go, you was about to take your helmets off. But because I was a freshman, and I was standing with the rest of the freshmen who wasn't playing – they took their helmets off because I took my helmet off. And when he saw it, he didn't throw no one else out of practice but me. And it wasn't, he didn't throw me out of practice. He just told me to leave for that session. And he was like, just fussing me. I was mad. I'm about to quit. So I went and I said, you know what? I ain't taking this from him. He ain't going to just be yelling and screaming at me like I'm some. And he said a lot of choice words. So when I went in the office after practice and I went and talked to him, he said, Oliver, you know why I yelled at you like that? He said, you don't have a clue. He said, if you want to quit, quit. But leaders And because you took your helmet off, everyone took their helmet off. But I wanted to make you the example because I knew you could take it. What I'm trying to say is some of y'all that's Christians are coming to church going through something, the Lord knows you're going through it. Stop being punks about it. Pray about it. Use the word, the tools you have, and pull yourself up and deal with the situation. Now, I'm not saying every situation you ain't going to have some ups and downs, but I'm not going to sugarcoat for everybody and be like, okay, because this is the problem, because we make excuses after excuses. I just listened to my wife and said, everyone do have problems. But then again, you know what? We all got problems, but we all make sacrifices. Sacrifice hurts. Sacrifice, you got to go through some things. Bearing this cross ain't easy. So stop thinking that just because the preacher then told you this prosperity message that you do the hocus pocus and turn yourself around three times, everything is going to be good, because it's not. It's not. And you have to have a relationship with the Lord one-on-one and stop looking for pity parties from everybody to help you get over the hump. It's not, it didn't happen for Jesus. It didn't happen for Peter. It didn't happen for Moses. It didn't happen for John. You got to go through some stuff. And once you start to know the scriptures, you'll understand, I got to go through some stuff. And stop trying to cliche your way out of it. Well, everyone got problems. Everybody's sin, Oliver, even you. I do. But you know what? I go hard for the Lord. I go hard. Like, people want me to shut up now. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep getting on your nerves. I keep talking for the simple reason because people said I couldn't talk. But the Lord said, you keep talking. You keep doing what you do. Irritate people. Because when you start irritating them, guess what? They will leave you alone. You ain't got to leave them alone. They will leave you alone. So, yeah, I keep talking. I keep saying what I'm saying, and I'm not going to be nice about it. But some of y'all, some of you men, act like girls, and some of you girls just need to grow up and be women and stop all the backbiting. Women mature a lot faster than men, so I'm looking for y'all to be mature and take the lead, because a lot of men can't take the lead because they're not mature. And I'm a mama. I'm proud to say I'm a mama's boy, but I'm a man. I know how to take. But, some of y'all are real mama's boys. And I ain't talking about mama's boys that, because we love our mama and we are not, y'all not them type of mama boys. Y'all the mother type of mama boys. Yeah, I'm going to call you out. And some of you women are so emotional, don't have a clue, believe everything you hear, and think everything going to be all right and don't want to make no changes. I'm going to tell you right now, in order to change, you have to change and do what you didn't do so you stop doing what you've been doing. And that's really all I got to say. I don't mean to keep preaching or being hard, but if I'm hard on myself, the only way I know how to be hard is hard on everybody else. When I'm talking to my sons, I'm hard on them. They will tell you I'm hard on them. I really don't care. Type of attitude I have with them. If you didn't do it right and you failed, get back up and do it again till you get it right. But this time you ought to listen to somebody. You don't want to listen to me, go find someone else. Listen to somebody. But the way you're doing it ain't right. And these cliches ain't right. If you want to be strong individual in the church and serve the Lord, it's going to hurt. It's going to take some stuff. You're going to have a backbone. Everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody ain't going to like everything that you say. And if they do, it's a problem. I ain't got no problem with having no one liking what I someone going to dislike what I'm saying now. And my wife said, you 4 minutes over. And I can say it because, it is what it is. This may be the last 4 minutes I talk. And I'm going to go out hard. And when I come back next week, I'm going to be hard. It's just the way the Lord made me, and I'm not going to change for nobody. But listen, tomorrow, Tuesday night, Bible study, 7 p.m., same phone number, same website. Also, Sunday morning, we have Praise Tabernacle Church service with Bishop Omar Zachary and First Lady Pamela Zachary. We'll be on next Sunday morning at 9 a.m., so please tune in to listen. You might catch the Zacharys this week. I'm not sure. They may be on. They may not. It all depends. They've been all over the country, so ain't no telling if they're going to be on this week or not. But if they are, we will let you know by social media and text. catch them while they're hot. So just be watching them, praying for them, because and again, I just want to say this. I got something for Macho. Hopefully I see him before they go out of town again, because he's been playing baseball and he's really been doing a good job. And I just think, and this is just my opinion, you ain't got to listen to me, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something, because when you see young people trying to better themselves and do something that they love to do, we ought to support it. If it ain't nothing but giving them one of them dollar bill something, because he's taking a lot of time to learn his craft of baseball. When he ain't in baseball, he's on the drums at church. So he's either doing one or the other. And because he's doing so good on baseball, I just think we ought to support him and uplift him. And I didn't know one tell me to do this. I'm just doing this on my own, because I just think that we ought to support our young people that are doing good, especially young people that's around that 9, 10, 11-year-old age that's trying to do something, because this world is crazy. And if you don't keep their head in the right thing, you know, it could be, you know, just that quick. And we're like, wow, why didn't we do this? So while they're here, we ought to bless them, encourage them, and uplift them. And as the church, Praise Tabernacle, talking to Praise Tabernacle now. But anybody else want to bless them, you know, just email me. I tell you, support them. Support them. They was in Kentucky over the weekend, and I'm almost certain they either won or was runner-up. I could be wrong, but I'm just going to put that out there. So let's do that. And don't forget Tuesday night Bible study tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Also, the rest of the week of our schedule, and again, I apologize. Yesterday we went on Blog Talk. It's my fault. I just forgot to hit the button. Did no show go on yesterday. I had 4 shows on Sunday. Not even my own didn't even go on yesterday because I forgot to hit the button. I forgot to say that earlier, so I apologize. But we'll be back on next Sunday for sure. As long as I don't forget to hit the button, we'll be good to go. And again, for the rest of Chaos Talk, on Wednesday morning we have a vent break. Wednesday evening, we have Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, Wednesday night. Thursday we have the Bluette, the Royal Bluette. And on Saturday we have Spiritual Life with Overseer Timothy Jackson. And then, like I said, Bishop Omar Zachary and family, they may be on this week. They may not. I don't know. Remember one of the things they're doing, edit, because they're doing a lot of traveling. If they got a free day, I can tell you they will be on, if they have a free day. And they don't be knowing if they have a free day until hours before the day become free. So it's not like we're trying to be not on schedule. But if they got a minute, they will jump up there and do a quick service. And we'll definitely let you know. I like those quick serves when you don't know, because those only be some of the best messages to come out is when you least expect it. So, you know, and that might be going on all summer anyway. So if they're free this week, I'm quite sure they'll be on. And with that being said, I think I got the schedules. Again, for everyone that reached out to me yesterday, I appreciate you. Again, I'm on a new, I'm going to a new level. I'm trying to get my wife to join me and pray for her. She got a lot going on. Without going into a lot of detail, she's got a lot going on. So, you know, we're going to keep her in prayer. I'm trying to keep her, where she needs to be. And she's a good woman. She's a good woman. She's strong. I don't want you to think by what she was talking about today that she's a strong woman. She has a lot going on, and you wouldn't even have a clue about what's going on. And not just by what she was talking about today, there's a lot going on. So sometimes she do need a minute to herself. It's just getting to the right self, and we're going to pray about that. But that being said, yeah, I went over. Again, I apologize, but we're really not supposed to go off to 8:30, but we're going to go ahead and get out of here now. Tomorrow night we have Bible study, 7 p.m., again, I keep iterating Bible study because that's where the foundation is built, during Bible study. And with that being said, we are out. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. We want to thank you for just watching over us right now, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just restore us right now, Father God. Watch over me and my wife, Father God. Give us the strength, the knowledge, and the understanding to live the way you want us to live, Father God. That is your will and not ours. Father God, we ask that you give the listeners the ear to hear what they heard tonight, and also to be a doer of what your word was telling them to do. Father God, we just ask you touch everyone in Praise Tabernacle, from our bishop and First Family. We ask you touch them, to all the elders, all the evangelists, all the deacons, and all the members. Touch them right now, Father God, in a way that you never touched them before, Father God. Let them know that you are the only and the only one, Father God, that they need their approval of, Father God. And Father God, we just ask that you watch over everyone else that's listening, that not members of Praise Tabernacle, just listening, just to be listening. I ask you to just touch them, whatever area code they're in, whatever, wherever they are, Father God, just touch them right now. Touch their bodies right now, Father God. For those that need healing, we're going to ask you to heal their body right now, Father God. By your stripes, you said, we are healed, and we're going to stand on that tonight, Father God. Father God, for those that may not know Jesus, Father God, all they got to do is say, Lord, come into my heart, and they shall be saved. And Father God, we ask, if anyone needs to say that, wants to say that, all you have to say is say, Lord, come into my heart, and you will be saved. And Father, it's just that simple. And Father God, we ask that you just watch over, again, everyone that listened, that called in, that's on the internet. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night.